Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Community College is hosting its second sustainability conference tomorrow, featuring panel discussions as well as two keynote addresses, one by Dr. Barian Moore, Dean of OU's College of Atmospheric and Geographic Sciences and Director of the National Weather Center there, and my guest today, green business coach and author Bill Roth, founder of the Earth 2017 website. Roth was a member of the team that built the first hydrogen-fueled Prius and a pioneering utility-scale solar power plant in Southern California. He's currently working on creating a medical office building that uses solar and smart technologies to achieve zero usage in electricity as well as zero emissions. An economist by trade, Roth has coached hundreds of business owners and companies on the bottom line savings businesses can achieve by going green and becoming more sustainable. His Earth 2017 blog is considered one of the top sustainability blogs in the country, and he's authored two books, The Boomer Generation Diet and The Secret Green Sauce. He'll be appearing tomorrow at the TCC Center for Creativity as a part of TCC's second sustainability conference, Sustainability, Bring It Home. Bill Roth is my guest today. Bill Roth, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Honored to be here.
You've been counseling businesses and looking at the new trends in sustainability for some time. What began your own path towards sustainability? What was the beginnings?
The beginnings was really how to make money. I am a
you
business
are a
person.
Capitalist.
I am a capitalist. I'm an economist.
Green capitalist.
I am a green capitalist in the sense that I like green money. And the first time I heard the words global warming, I just couldn't believe it. It didn't make sense to me, but I am a number person. And I went and looked at the numbers, and at the time they didn't seem particularly compelling. But over time, what became compelling to me as a business person was that customers are changing. They're really making authenticity and trustworthiness a major criteria on what they buy and who they buy from. They want to pay less, but they also want the products to mean more.
When you say authentic and trustworthy, trustworthiness can have nothing to do with sustainability unless that's an important attribute in their own lives.
And that is an astute observation. So the other major trend in business is that we're all being driven by that smartphone. The smartphone is empowering customers to figure things out as it means to them. So for some customers, sustainability is all about health. For some customers, it is about the environment. For other customers, it's about responsibly built and manufactured products. But the important thing for every business person is the customers are watching. I had one major large retailer once say to me, "Bill, we're naked." And guess what? We are.
So how does this play into sustainability, this idea that businesses are transparent, they have to find this search for authenticity and trustworthiness? Where does sustainability come into it?
Well, sustainability is a culture. It is now becoming a form of marketing. And it is a series of attributes. So that let's take the culture point perspective. This year is a milestone in America. The millennial generation is now the largest employed demographic group in America, replacing the baby boomer generation. They think about sustainability much differently than the baby boomer generation. They are focused on that topic. So as we bring more and more millennials into business, as they assume more and more responsibility, a culture will evolve. And so we're seeing that quite a bit in companies that are oriented more toward millennials. In terms of attributes, in terms of marketing, it gets back to that mean more positioning of products. You have to be price competitive, but you also have to have a value statement to the customer that they believe and that they think is authentic and that they can prove it to themselves when they get that smartphone out and search and see what, one, other customers are saying about the product, and two, really critically, what work associates are saying about the product.
Now, let me ask you about one aspect of that culture.
Okay.
One aspect of that culture, from what I can see, not being a millennial myself, would be that local is better.
Okay? Yes.
Local is better. So that means if I'm a big national company, how do I fit into that meme, or should I even bother trying, or what does this mean for the supply chain where multinational companies have always bowed at Walmart's door, bowed at the big retailers, give them the big breaks instead of the mom and pop store. In fact, probably may at times even blow off a mom and pop store if it means unsettling their relationship with a huge box retailer.
You have asked a tremendously important question. Local is becoming more and more a criteria for judging a company and its authenticity and trustworthiness. Next to the military, local business owners have the next highest level of trust among consumers. This is a huge issue for the big boxes. Walmart is very aware of this. They have a definitive strategy, especially in the area of food. Half of their revenues come from the sale of groceries, of defining what is local and trying to meet that expectation of the customer. What we're seeing is an explosive growth in farmers markets. Mm-hmm. We went from maybe a few hundred to now, I think last count, approximately 8,000 farmers markets. People are looking for that local connection. This is a tremendous opportunity for communities like Tulsa. You have a tremendous downtown. You know, I love coming to Tulsa. There's vibrance. There's local, exciting, different restaurants and shops. By the way, people are just remarkably friendly. but this is the business opportunity. I do a lot of coaching with mid and small-sized companies because they now have a competitive advantage in the mind of the customer. The customer see value in buying local.
Hmm. Now, the second piece of the puzzle you mentioned was marketing.
Yes.
And you don't have to look far to see how all sorts of companies are marketing their sustainability and talking about becoming more sustainable. How much of that is marketing, and how much is that true company changing their worldview to really become more sustainable? I think the example that you always see is, you know, a recycling wastebasket and another wastebasket next to it. And if when the guy comes by to pick up the trash, it all goes in the same bin.
Yeah, we've seen that.
So how much is this is marketing, and how much is this is a true shift in thinking?
We're in the process. Too much of it is marketing. I think for me, the classic example is now you can't buy food anymore that isn't labeled natural, as if we all were looking for unnatural food or used to buy or eat unnatural food. Now, wow, we're getting to buy natural food. What is natural? So we're going through an evolution here.
And, of course, you know, all those names that are on a package have been politically vetted, and it oftentimes bears no resemblance to what you would think natural means, or 100% organic, you know, that sort of thing. They're political statements.
Yeah, yeah.
That are vetted in FDA.
And, you know, the FDA is going through a difficult process of trying to get the process right in terms of how to label food. I actually went through a personal evolution where I lost 30 pounds because I was just unhealthy. And one of the challenges was figuring out what to eat that both tastes good to me and was actually supportive of my health goals, because I will absolutely not go hungry. But it was a difficult process. And that's where the consumer is today.
Okay, but where are the companies in trying to meet
that? And the companies now understand that's where the consumer is, and they're trying to meet their expectations. And the good ones, and I'll use Unilever as an example, they make Dove soap, Hellman's mayonnaise. Their CEO came in and said, basically, we're going to be a sustainable company. We're going to offer products that are good for people and good for the planet, that are also competitively priced, and that our customers really enjoy. When he introduced that concept, I would estimate that at most their product sales of what he would call sustainable products represented less than 10% of their sales. Today, Unilever, 50% of their product sales are from what he would call sustainable products.
Now, what does that change entail in that 10% to 50%?
So you mentioned, for example, the supply chain. That is one of the mega trends that America is leading. There is a greening of the supply chain by corporate America, whether it's DuPont or Ford or Unilever or Apple. All these corporations now realize that they have to document their authenticity and trustworthiness through their supply chain. So you will not win a bid in America today just coming in with a low price with corporate America. You have to come in with a low price and the documentation that, in fact, you are operating your business in a manner that aligns with the measurables that these corporations are establishing around how they treat people and how they treat the environment. And that gets back to your observation, my observation, that we're moving in a transition. The days where the janitor can mix the baskets of recyclable and waste together and truck it off to the landfill are going to end, because what is business really good at? They're good at measuring, right? And so they're measuring, and that is the way we're going to change toward a more sustainable business.
So what are some of the measurables that they're looking at? Say when they're looking at a part supplier for their product, are they looking at their emissions? What exactly?
So one of the reasons why I'm here in Tulsa is I'm working with Tulsa Community College mm-hmm. and with Sustainable Tulsa. And what Sustainable Tulsa is working on is what they call benchmarks. And in fact, that is a business term that is really being adopted through the application of sustainability. So businesses today literally have a report card that is quite thick, and they measure everything. They measure your waste stream. They measure how you're using water. They're measuring how you're using energy and where you're sourcing your energy. They're measuring your labor practices, measuring your diversity. It is a radically different way to participate in the bid process today in corporate America than what it was even just 10 years ago. These were not questions that were raised then. They are questions that have to be answered today with details.
How well is American business doing at reaching these benchmarks of better labor relations, using less water, or at least leaving the water cleaner than it comes into the plant? You know, these are sort of essential questions of what we would think of as environmental sustainability.
And we're world leaders. It is a competitive advantage for America. We are changing the way the world operates through these corporations. Are we perfect? No. We see the headlines every day. Somebody messed up royally. But here's the key. We're seeing the headlines, especially the millennial generations. This is what I'm going to talk about at Tulsa Community College. They are driving this change. They pay attention to these issues. They're communicating back through their posts on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and et cetera. Corporate America is listening. One of my favorite examples was a 10-year-old who loved crayons, and he became aware that they did not recycle their crayons. And he started a social media campaign on his own, a 10-year-old, and got tens of thousands of participants, and now the Crayola company has a recycling program for their crayons. Mm. That's what's happening in America. We're leaders. It's going to be a competitive advantage. It's a focus that towns need to be aware of if they're going to successfully recruit and retain businesses, because corporate America is looking for locations where they can operate their green supply chain.
Now, one of the things that sustainability advocates will talk about is the fact that once you adopt this, there may be startup costs, but you're going to save money as a company. Has that panned out?
Absolutely. Let's face it, business isn't going to do this if it doesn't make money. And that really was much of what my pioneering research was about.
But there are two ways of making money. It's marketing your sustainability to get more sales. But I was talking about, does this actual sustainability save the money in the long term?
Reduce costs.
Yeah.
Actually, that's where most businesses start. It's easier to figure out how to reduce a cost through sustainability than win a customer. Any good engineer probably, if you sat down with him in 30 minutes, he or she could come up with a list of 10 things they could do that would be more efficient. It would save money. And oh, by the way, it would also probably reduce your environmental footprint. And that's really where sustainability has its strength right now in corporate America. They're using sustainability to save money. And I'll give you a local example, Walmart. they save annually over $200 million by reducing their waste stream. They have a zero waste stream management strategy.
That's hard for me to believe that Walmart does that. How do they do that?
You know, it's no one silver bullet. It is about identifying the waste stream from the very design. They are very focused on packaging. One of my frustrations when buying a Walmart packaged product is that you almost need a precision cutting tool to get the package off, because they use so little packaging and it's so tightly bundled together, but it's very efficient. So they're focusing on, from the very start with the manufacturer, how efficiently is it packaged and produced, how is it delivered, how to use fewer crates and put more things on fewer crates.
I was thinking of just, you know, to service one of your normal Sam's Clubs, I'm just thinking of all the pallets that equipment come in and all the cardboard that boxes, cases. I would think it would be really hard to get to a zero waste management stream.
Here's the cool thing about progressive companies like a Walmart or a DuPont or a GM or a Ford, who all have these strategies. They know it's hard to get to. They truly celebrate when they have one factory that can achieve such a result. It's truly a milestone event still in America. But the fact of the matter is they're making so much progress toward that, that they're seeing measurable financial benefits. And the person who reports on this waste management system inside Walmart isn't some head of operations. It's the chief financial officer. This is about money. And the end result is a more sustainable environment.
My guest today is Bill Roth, an author, business coach, and founder of Earth 2017. He's also an author of The Boomer Generation Diet and The Secret Green Sauce, which doesn't have to do with the actual diet. It's a recipe for saving money through green practices. And he will be one of the keynote speakers for Tulsa Community College's second sustainability conference titled Sustainability, Bring It Home, taking place Thursday at the TCC Center for Creativity. He's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. One of the things you do on your Earth 2017 blog is talk about some of these new trends that you're seeing. And one that you were just talking about is autonomous smart cars, electric cars, actually.
Yep.
How is this going to change the way we move around?
It is going to be as dramatic a change as a smartphone. And candidly, it took me a while to get my arms around it because it's that radical of a change. And really, it was Ford who finally helped me see the light. They're running a pilot in London, England right now, where they are now repositioning Ford from selling cars, or the classic F-150 pickup truck, the number one selling vehicle in America, to mobility as a service. So think of this scenario. It's your anniversary. You want to take your spouse out to a fun evening, and up drives a really sporty red convertible. It's an electric car, accelerates at the speed of electrons. You two get into it. You have a great ride to the restaurant. You go inside. You have a wonderful meal. You have a couple cocktails, a bottle of wine. And then a sedan shows up, maybe a Volvo or a very safe car, and safely drives you back home. The next morning, an F-150 full-size cab pickup truck shows up and picks you and your family up. You hook up your boat to the back of the truck, and you go off to the lake that next day. You don't have the cost of owning a car. You don't have the maintenance responsibility for owning the car. You don't have the fuel costs for owning the car. It's charged to you maybe by the minute, so you don't even have to worry about, gosh, I only need it for an hour. And it all happens through your smartphone, through artificial intelligence.
So it's sort of like Uber coming from Ford, a big motor company.
Exactly right. And General Motors just put $500 million into Uber's number one competitor, Lyft. And this is where the auto industry is heading. They're looking at the business models of telecommunications and saying, you know, that might be where we're heading in terms of transportation.
Now, when I hear the term autonomous smart electric car, I'm thinking like what Google's working on, where it's taking care of most of the driving. Is this what you're talking about, or are you talking about more a lift service, if you will.
I'm talking, and it's not really me talking about this. I'm hearing this from Ford and GM and other major manufacturers from their senior management. This is Bill Ford of Ford stating that Ford is going to be a mobility company. And yes, they are talking about the merger of artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, and a car or truck. And one of the things that Ford also showed me was, I don't know if you've ever heard of Amazon's Echo, but it is a little device about, 2 feet high and cylinder in shape, and it's artificial intelligence. And you speak to it, and it speaks back to you in the voice of Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And their Ford are now connecting to Amazon's Echo that sits in your house to their car so that when you drive off and suddenly go, did I close that garage door? You say to your car, you say, Alexa, is my garage door closed? And she says, no problems, Bill. It's closed. And by the way, we now know you're gone. So we're going to turn the thermostat down. Yeah. Exactly right. That's where we're heading.
Wow. So what is spurring this? It's not simply sustainability. It's trying to connect with this millennial generation that's going to be our next baby boom generation, where the millennial generation, as far as I can see, is the first generation. Now, there are plenty of millennials that are wanting a car on their 16th birthday.
Right.
But there are a lot of millennials that don't.
Yes.
And will just say, I can do without a car.
Yep. And if they do want a car, they want it to be connected. Seamlessly connected, just like their smartphones, just like their iPads. But the other major trend here is urbanization. When I was born, I'm a baby boomer too. When I was born, there was 2 megacities in the world. And a megacity is one with 10 million population or larger. Today, we have 22. For the first time in human history, half of the human race now lives in a city. That's projected to be 70% within the next 15 to 20 years. With all that congestion, we're just not going to be able to build more roads. You know, we don't really want to walk a mile or two to a rail station. We don't like riding buses. We like cars. So the solution has to be smarter cars that can use the existing roads and get us there in more comfort, with more ease, faster, more efficient. And that also turns out to be more sustainable.
Hmm. My guest today is Bill Roth, author, a business coach, and founder of Earth 2017. He will be a keynote speaker for TCC's second sustainability conference, taking place Thursday at the Tulsa Community College Center for Creativity. So you're talking a lot about millennial behavior and how that's driving. What are some of the other forces that are driving sustainability, other than this sort of marketing to millennials, and millennials increasingly are demanding a more sustainable product? What are some of the other market forces?
There are 2 others. We talked about millennials, and we've also talked about disruptive technologies. The other 2 are efficiency and learning faster. To be competitive in this world, you either have to be innovative, efficient, or a really fast learner. And the companies that are the really top producing successful companies do all 3 really well. So we're in an environment of change. Change is the new norm. What we're really adjusting to is not only change, but accelerating change. It was only 2007 when the iPhone was introduced by Steve Jobs. In less than 10 years, it has reached market penetration where we all have one. Now we're moving on to artificial intelligence. Just think where that will be in 10 years. So we've got to learn how to learn, and we have to learn faster. And that is a huge competitive advantage for communities and businesses. And one reason why I'm so excited to be at Tulsa Community College, because they get it. They want to help their students learn. They want to help them learn faster and therefore be more productive for Tulsa.
Now, innovation, I can understand. Efficiency, I can understand. But learning faster, I don't think of large companies as being normally nimble enough to learn fast.
And so maybe how
are they changing those processes?
Well, there's 2 things happening. One, you've got companies sort of like Sears that hasn't learned.
No, I wouldn't say they've learned a whole lot.
Right, much less learned faster. Then you maybe have a company like Walmart that is really good. They're really good learners, but now they're being challenged by Amazon, and so they're having to learn faster. And then you've got the Amazons and the Googles and the Facebooks and the Apples and on and on and on, who are really learning really fast. And we're all trying to catch up with them and figure it out. And what truly is going to be a head spin for my generation, the baby boomer generation, is if you think change is happening with the millennials, wait until their siblings, Generation Z, because this is the generation that was born with a smartphone in their hand. Yep. When they were
a tablet and a phone.
That was their learning tool. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of giving them a toy, the parents gave them an iPhone or an iPad to play with. And this generation is moving at the speed of how fast they can move the buttons on that device.
Now, you mentioned companies like Apple and Amazon. I would look at them as innovators. I'm wondering, when the next wave comes, will they be nimble enough to learn fast?
And they are asking that same question. Because if the next generation of advancement is going to be the combination of the Internet of Things and artificial intelligence, well, that repositions the smartphone into just a commodity. It's just a device. The real value of that device is how smart the intelligence is that's going to be talking to you and answering your questions or acting in your behalf without you even knowing it. All these companies are massively into this. That's why you mentioned the Google autonomous driving car, that ugly thing with the big dome on top of it. Look, nobody's going to buy that thing, but that's the first generation. And why is Google into it? It's about artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And so you also asked the question about America. We're going to win. You know, we're going to win. We are the nation of entrepreneurs. We are a nation of freedom. We allow our people to the ability to be creative, and we don't look at diversity as a disadvantage. We look at it as an advantage. And because of that, we do learn, and we learn faster.
All right. Well, we wish you great success.
Thank you.
Bill Roth will be speaking at the TCC Sustainability Conference. Bill, thanks very much for joining us.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Green business coach, author, and the founder of the Earth 2017 blog site, Bill Roth, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He'll be a guest speaker at the second TCC Sustainability Conference titled Sustainability, Bring It Home, which takes place tomorrow at the TCC Center for Creativity. You can learn more at tulsacc.edu. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.